All right. Turn over to James chapter 5 here tonight. James chapter 5. James 5. Let's go down to verse 7. James 5, 7. James 5, 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. But be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Let's pray. Father, thankful this morning for a good service and some visitors here, first time and otherwise. We're asking that you'll minister to them, Lord. These folks have come back here tonight, Lord, faithfully. Lord, I pray you'd not disappoint them as far as giving them something from the Word of God. Look forward to having fellowship afterwards and friends getting a chance to be with friends. But Lord, may we now spend some time at the feet of the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. May we remember, Lord, always Mary sitting at your feet, and may we be in that particular frame of mind here tonight. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now actually the text is down in verse 11. It says there in verse 11, ye have heard of the patience of Job. Well, you sure have, haven't you? You've heard of it. In fact, it's kind of funny because I was thinking about it the other day getting ready here. And actually, I heard several people say that my dad had the patience of Job. I didn't quite see that. But said that you've heard of the patience of Job. Well, you sure have heard of the patience of Job. But where did you hear of it? If you heard of it, you heard of it in James chapter 5, verse 11, because it's not in Job. That is, the word patient is not in Job in any form. The word patience is not in Job in any form. So if you're going to the Bible looking for the patience of Job, you're only going to find the patience of Job in one book. Or, well, yeah, in one book. In fact, in one place, James chapter 5, verse 11. So, Job then, the book of Job must have been something of a textbook on patience. And so I got thinking about that a little bit. And whatever's the case, patience is sure in this passage before you here, because I believe by the time it's all said and done, it's mentioned five separate times in just the parts that we read. Notice verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. So you're supposed to be patient unto something. Patience will be required in a lot of things. But you're going to have to be patient in waiting for Jesus Christ. You say, well, I already have. Well, you're going to have to be some more. And it says, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. A husbandman, a vineyard keeper, or a oliveyard keeper, or whatever, orchard keeper, whatever, understands that there's just some things that man can't do, and beyond doing a few necessary things, that it's the husbandman's part to, after tilling the ground and pruning the trees and whatever else has to be done, that he has to wait patiently for it. And so you're going to have to do that. Down in verse 8 again, you will notice, in verse 8, be also patient, establish your hearts. You're going to find that patience is a heart matter. And that we're going to make a little bit of a distinction here in just a little bit between waiting and patience. But it says there in verse 8 that you're to establish your hearts being patient, which means that part of being patient is having the right heart. I'm fearful I'm going to get off and preach about something that I've got to say later, so I'm going to get off of it for now. Verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. Part of patience has to do with making sure that things are right in your brotherly relationships. And finally, in verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." So let me talk to you for a little while here tonight about the patience of Job. And you're going to get two sermons like this. I got one this morning where I was just asking what, when, where, and how. You're going to get another one tonight. And I only have three questions to ask you. And the first question is, what is patience, or what patience is? And so let me talk to you about that for just a minute. First of all, I got thinking about this, and most of the rest of this is in the passage or else in Job. But I guess I'd never quite thought about it. I'll tell you the first thing that patience is a virtue. Now, you know what most people do? Most people make patience equal waiting. And that's not true. To wait is a verb. And patience, that's not a verb. Patience is a virtue. Patience is an attribute. That's why it's said that you have to establish your heart to be patient. In fact, when you get down to it, I'll read you a couple of verses here. Notice it says, "Rest in the Lord" in Psalm 37, "and wait patiently for Him." Well, it's telling you to wait. That's a verb. But patiently is how you wait. It says in verse 40 of, or Psalm 40 verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it said, "The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." You're going to wait, but you're going to have to wait patiently. Folks, patience is a virtue. Waiting is a verb. Patience is an attribute. Patience is a character trait. Patience is something that you develop. Patience is like meekness or tenderness or kindness or some such thing like that. Patience is a virtue. You see, you're going to wait anyway. How you wait is your business. You're going to wait whether you like it or not. That's the verb part. You're going to stand in line at Costco. You're going to stand in line at Walmart. You're going to stand in line at the department, driver's license office. Okay? You're going to wait for the Lord whether you like it or not. Whether you wait patiently is up to you. Patience is a virtue. We often make waiting equal patience. That's not true. You know, I was looking today. I got once in a while kind of dry up, and you know, I have a couple of encyclopedias of illustrations for preachers. You know, there's poems in there and little stories and stuff like that. And I went to patience in all three or four of them. You know what all of the illustrations on patience were? Waiting. Well, patience is not waiting. Patience is how you wait. And while you wait, you can stomp and murmur, and you can do that too, I suppose. You can curse and swear and, you know, pace and a little bit of everything else, and that's completely up to you, but you will still wait. But the Bible says that you're supposed to wait patiently. Patience is developed. Patience is something. Waiting is what you do anyway, but patience is how you wait. Patience is a virtue. Patience is a virtue. All right, so first of all, patience is a virtue. Second of all, I'll go over to Job, book of Job, and you won't need your Bibles for individual passages here for just a little while, but most of you know the basic story of Job. It says, you know, you've heard of the patience of Job. What is patience? Well, first of all, I should say that along that line in Job, if Job's a textbook, well, folks, patience is resisting what Satan wants you to do. In Job 1, verse 11, "Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." That's what Satan said. What Satan wanted Job to do was curse God to his face. Look in 1:20. "And Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped." That's after all the cattle have gone, the kids have gone, everybody's dead. And he said in verse 21, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He did not do what Satan wanted him to do. You have heard of the patience of Job. Well, know that patience is a virtue. It's not just waiting. Patience is a virtue. It's how you wait. And patience is you resisting what the devil wants you to do. Look in Job chapter 2, verse 5. I know you know this, but here's the devil, and he's back again. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone, his flesh. He will curse thee to thy face. That's what he wanted. Look in 2:9. Then said his wife to him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. I mean, devil inspired her to speak. And he says instead, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this, did not Job sin with his lips? That is not what the devil wanted to hear. And all I want to say is that when you're asking what patience is, you've heard of the patience of Job, and yet patience isn't mentioned in Job as such. Then you got to go dig around in there and find out what Job's patience was. Well, Job's patience was resisting what the devil wanted him to do. Ought to think about that next time you hit your thumb with a hammer, or you know, things go wrong. You have one of those really bad days where it's pile on time, and you know how you. Well, I know how I get when those days happen, and I have to say that there are some times that I'm not all that patient in my waiting. I'm sure you are. Say secondly, or thirdly, that patience is resisting what the flesh wants you to do. In 1:21, again, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is not the response that the flesh wishes to give. I mean, the flesh wants to crawl up on the top of a water tower and shake his fist at God and, you know, demand that God either kill him or fix the problem. That's what the flesh wants to do. The flesh wants to curse and swear and throw stuff and break windows and kick stuff so that you have a bigger insurance bill than, you know, anything else. You say, what's the point? Well, the point is that patience is resisting what the flesh wants you to do. I want you to know, otherwise, that patience is yielding to what God permits, acquiescing to what God allows. Don't look now, but God brought all this on. I mean, the Lord begins all this. The devil did not initiate this. The devil did not come to the Lord and say, I want to try Job. The Lord said, chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. You know, I've said before, you know, I hope that I'm a good enough Christian and stuff, but I just soon that the Lord leave me out of he and the devil's disputes. I mean, really. If this is the way their spat goes, and it's more than a spat, but I just soon be left out of it. But it's the Lord that brought it up and gave the devil permission. And then the Lord brought it up again in Job 2. And again, the Lord gave the devil permission. The Lord allowed some things. And whatever else the case, Job had some pretty bitter things to say through the rest of the book. I'll grant you that. And I know that there are some times that he got pretty close to the line. But in the end, you've heard of the patience of Job. And one of the things about the patience of Job is that he yielded to what God allowed in his life. He acquiesced to it. Okay? Now, folks, you believe that God's alive. I know you do. Sometimes, I know it's confusing, sometimes you think God is punishing you. And maybe he is. Sometimes you think that the Lord is just out to persecute you or chasing you. I don't know. Maybe he is. But maybe it's none of that. Maybe all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, and maybe your decision to do right has gotten you a thorn or two, right? In the end, it doesn't really matter, because one of the most unnatural things in the world is for you to acquiesce to what God allows in your life, and I'm telling you that that's what patience is. Patience is not just waiting. You're going to wait anyway. I mean, you fuming and fulminating and all that is not going to change how you, is not going to change your waiting, other than possibly lengthening it. What what the Lord's after is to see how you wait. And you have heard of the patience of Job. And Job, one of the things that Job proves is that you can be pretty frank with God, and that the Lord will put up with quite a lot, actually, of frankness between one of his kids and himself. You can go to God and talk about anything that you want to do, but I tell you what you better do. You better make sure that you've acquiesced to what he allowed in your life. I'm sorry where bitter things happen. If I was God, I probably would have been kinder. I don't know. I wish that, you know, I had the power right now. Anybody here? I wish some of you had the power to wave a magic wand and all of our fixes be fixed. You know, I'd like that. It'd be good. But in the meantime, you better design in your heart to acquiesce to what the Lord's allowed in your life, because you've heard of the patience of Job. And brother, you ain't been through what Job's been through. Okay? Nobody here has been through what Job's going through. There's one other thing along this line. Notice James chapter 5. You go back, keep your finger in Job. But in James chapter 5, I'm discussing what patience is. And in James 5, notice it says in verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord." Well, if you study Job, you've seen the end of the Lord. Because in the end, Job got a bunch more than he had to start with. You couldn't have a story turn out more right than Job's story turned out. Right? His enemies had to submit themselves and apologize. He had more, you know, he had his kids back. By what means, we won't discuss here and all that. The only one that's not mentioned is his wife. And I presume the kids came about via a wife, so... Like I said, I mean, Job's end, you've seen the end of the Lord. Well, having seen the end of the Lord, one of the things that it points out to is that one of the things that patience is seeing it to the end. Most people that are severely tried consider quitting. Not looking for anybody to admit anything, but I imagine that there's people in here in this room that have wondered what it'd be like to put a bullet in your own head over something somewhere in life. Maybe it was when you were lost. Maybe it wasn't when you were lost. All right, now I'm not going to ask for any confessions or anything else, but I'll tell you this. One of the things that patience is seeing whatever God has asked you to go through, is seeing it through unto the end. That's what he wants from you. He wants you to see it through. You know what the book of Ecclesiastes says, written by a very wise man? He says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Come on, tell me, haven't you been through enough life, most of you, to be glad that you saw your way through, all the way through, at least one stage of your life, one thing or another? I mean, I don't know. When I was a miserable 17 and 18 year old for various reasons. Well, I am not a miserable 48 year old. Okay? But I was thoroughly, and most of it was just backsliddenness. I was thoroughly miserable as a 17 and 18 year old. Okay? I was a Christian. You know what? I saw it through. Got right with God. I'm glad it's over. But I'm glad I saw it through. Okay, one of the things that patience is seeing it through to the end. And you've heard of the patience of Job? Well, Job saw it through to the very end. He swallowed every bitter pill that God asked him to swallow. He said some fairly bitter things. Job, whatever else can be said, Job was very frank, right? But in the end, it was his counselors that had to apologize and get right with God, and Job came out on top. You've heard of the patience of Job. All right, so I've asked what patience is. Let me talk to you for a couple minutes about what patience endures. If the book of Job is a book on patience, you've heard of the patience of Job, but patience is not mentioned in Job, so you have to see patience in Job without actually seeing the word, right? Well, if that's the case, then let's discuss for just a little while what patience endures. I'm not talking about whether you're able to wait something out. I'm not talking about just surviving until it's over. I'm talking about what patience endures, what patience overcomes. In fact, let's face it, what patience conquers. All right, first of all, with regard to this, look in Job 1:8, and notice again. Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Look in 2:3. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. You know, one of the first things you see in Job that the patience of Job endured and that will be required probably for a lot of us to endure? Being singled out. Being singled out. Think about it. I mean, like I said, if I'm right with God, I really prefer God leave me out of he and the devil's fights, right? Wouldn't you? Well, I really would prefer that God not challenge the devil with my life, right? Given a choice, I don't always have a choice. But whatever's the case, you can see there that Job was singled out. He was, first of all, singled out by the Lord. And the devil had already considered him, so he had been singled out for attention that way too. Now, you know, a couple things to remember here. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, right? Lord is probably not going to ask you to go through anything unique, although I suppose it's possible. And again, nobody wants this kind of attention. But you've heard of the patience of Job. One of the things that Job's patience did was it endured being singled out. I mean, the Lord took him up and held him up and let the devil wail on him. You know, like it's just, you know, he was just a beaten dummy there for a while. All right, now I don't think that the Lord is going to necessarily lift you up like that. But, you know, one of the things that patience does endure is that very thing. Don't you ever read the book and just kind of marvel that Job actually got through it? You know that he didn't have eternal security? Do you know that he didn't have an indwelling Holy Spirit sealed inside him like you do? Do you know that, I know God spoke to him, but do you know that he didn't have all the promises in the Bible that you have? All written down. He did not get to sit in his sackcloth and ashes and scrape his sores and read his Bible through while he sat and dealt with this matter. Right? One of the things that Job's patience endured was being singled out. You know, the next thing that's real clear to see is that Job's patience endured disaster. I mean, we're talking disaster here, folks. Most of us in our lives have experienced something or another. And a lot of people here have experienced worse things than others. But come on, folks, put the package together. Look down in chapter 1, verse 14. There came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them. The Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, you talk about piling on, brother. One messenger after another, they're lined up, waiting to give him the good news. Verse 17, when he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Chaldeans made out three bands, fell upon the camels, have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, smote the four corners of the house. It fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, folks, that is a catastrophe. That's a personal catastrophe. You go on down to the next chapter in chapter 2, and I know you're all familiar with it, verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. His wife comes to him and says, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. I mean, it's a person. We're talking disaster beyond anything that any of us have experienced. Okay? Now, you know what? Job gets to wait this out regardless of how he waits it out. I mean, Job gets to sit there, aside from blowing his own brains out, Job gets to sit there having lost all his possessions, all his kids, his health, and his wife turned against him, and would just as soon he die. You have to admit, it's hard to imagine anything else that could come his way. But he didn't just wait it out. The Bible then says, ye have heard of the patience of Job. There was an element with Job's waiting that had to do with patience. You know, I'm convinced that a lot of Job's way, that it was tied up with his integrity. The Lord said to the devil, he said, you've moved me against him, and yet he still retains his integrity. I mean, there was a part of Job that whatever else was the case, he refused to curse God. And while he said some fairly bitter things in the end, and while, you know, he did gripe and murmur to a degree, it's very hard to hold that against him. And the fact is that he refused, whatever else the case, this personal thing that welled up in him, it refused to allow him to curse God. And so he waited patiently. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. It endured disaster. Look in chapter 1, verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Well, it's not just that it's his wife, but you know, he endured unsound counsel. Right? Now you get in a bind and would like to have a way out. And one of the things that's real easy to do is to choose the easy way out. Well, you know, in the end, he's just lost everybody. All the kids are dead. All the possessions are gone. And he's lost his health. You know, if somebody had handed him a little white pill and said, it'll be over in 5 minutes if you take this. Right? I mean, most people would have at least contemplated the easy way out. His wife says maybe it was because she loved him. Maybe she was just weary with seeing him suffer. And she was suffering herself so much. And then on top of it, he's lost his health. She said, well, why don't you just give up? Just go ahead and curse God. He'll kill you. Maybe he'll strike you with a bolt of lightning. Maybe you won't feel a thing. Well, all that's fine and good, but you know, you're going to get in a bind somewhere along the way. And it's going to be real tempting to take an easy way out. It's going to be real easy to yield to unsound counsel. It's going to be real easy just to give up. You know, the other night we were at a basketball game, and the coach of the other team was kind of a cantankerous dude, and he didn't like one of the calls the referees made. And so he made some wisecrack, and the referee gave him a technical. He goes, oh, well, why don't you just give me another one? And so he did. And kicked him out of the gym. You know, that's a real fine thing for a couple of Christian schools. At least it wasn't our coach, right? Well, you know, all the guy did was took the easy way out, really. I mean, he teed him up, and the guy goes, well, Fine, why don't you just do it again? And so he did. And so then he got to leave. Well, sometimes that's how you get. When instead of biting your tongue and realizing that now you're going to have to shut your mouth and go on, instead you just opt to go ahead and have the Lord, jerk you out of there. Well, all I'm trying to say, folks, is that one of the things that patience endures is unsound counsel. His wife says, just curse God and die. That would have been bad counsel. All right, there's something else. Look in chapter 4. It's really starting in chapter 4, verse 1. Because Job complains for a chapter. And then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? Oh, we don't want to add to your grief. We really don't. But then... But who can withhold from speaking? In other words, so I'm going to say what I want to say anyway. Verse 3, behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it is come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent. He said, in the end, Job, your problem is that you deserve everything you get. Well, you're a guy, and here's a guy that hasn't lost his kids and hasn't lost his health and hadn't lost his stuff, talking to a guy that has lost everything, and he's saying, well, see there, you deserve that. Well, what happens here for all the way over to chapter 32 is these three guys gang up on Job, and they proceed to take him to task. They put him under unjust criticism. There's blame laying. There's detractors, there's critics. All they do is rip him up one side and down the other, all in the name of telling him the truth. Right? I just want to say that one of the things that the patience of Job endured was unjust criticism, was blame laying, detractors, critics. It hurts having folks say things about you that are wrong. It hurts having folks say things about you that are right. You got to be careful with that, because Elihu steps up in Job 32 through 38 through 37. And what Elihu says is right, because God agrees with him. In fact, God uses some of his words. Now, these other three fellows did not have the right slant, and their criticism was unjust. Whatever is the case, Job sat through their criticism, and you've heard of the patience of Job. The patience of Job endures unjust criticism. You know what else it endures? It endures uncertainty. Job's continuing theme through this entire thing was, why did this happen to me? Why? Far as we know, the Lord never directly answered why he did what he did. I don't know about you, but one of the things that you run into certain situations as a person, as a Christian, as a pastor, whatever, but where, it's required of you to do something, but you're a little uncertain about the circumstances of why things happen, and, there's some uncertainties in the circumstances. It makes dealing with those circumstances very difficult, right? I mean, if you knew exactly why, I mean, for instance, if the Lord asked you to go through something, if the Lord pulled you aside and said, now listen, I am doing this to chasten you. I'm whooping you good because you did this. He doesn't do that, though. Wouldn't it be, if he's going to ask you to go through something and he says, now listen, you didn't do anything wrong. This is like a Job thing. And you're going to have a couple of miserable months this year just because I just want to see if you can go through this. And I just want to make the gold a little finer. So, don't worry about it. You're going to go through some dark times. You're going to have some long nights. And you're going to be miserable for 2 months this year. But don't worry about it. You didn't do anything wrong. But you know what you get to do? You got to start going through something, and you got to sit there and be uncertain about exactly what it is God's sending you through and why. Because you know full well you deserve some of it. So it's probably chastisement. But on the other hand, you know full well that other guy is worse than you are. So what he's putting you through is, you know, maybe a Job-type deal, but just going back and forth and not being certain about some of it is its own little purgatory. Right? So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, one of the things that the patience of Job endured was uncertainty. Lack of an explanation. Mystery about why some things happen. Part of your misery when you are asked to go through something will be in part because you probably can't figure out exactly why you're going through it all. Why he's laid all this on you and not on somebody else. You've heard of the patience of Job. Job went through the whole book not knowing exactly why. And by the way, I remind you, in the end, at the end of the book, you may know more about why God tried Job than Job knew. Because at least you got to see the beginning of it, where the Lord says, "You seen my servant Job? Have you considered him?" And you got to see the whole thing. God never explained that to Job. Job may have had to wait to get to heaven to have the thing explained to him. All right, there's something else I wanted you to see. I wanted you to see that starting in Job 32, you have Elihu that steps up, and Elihu goes after Job about as hard as those other three guys did. But when it's all said and done, the Lord actually winds up, when he begins to rebuke Job in Job 38 through 42, God actually uses some of Elihu's words. So one of the things that the patience of Job endures is a righteous rebuke. Not just unjust criticism, but righteous rebuke. Y'all have been in church long enough to know that sometimes it's hard to take a sermon. Because, you know, you're getting ripped up and what you're being told is right. But, well, you've heard of the patience of Job. And, you know, in the end, Job only answered God twice. And both times he said, "I've said enough, I'm shutting my mouth." Right? All right. So what patience endures? It endures righteous rebuke. Now I'm on the last question. What patience does? Okay? Look in Psalm, book of Psalms, verse 37. Psalms 37. Talk about what patience is. Looked at what patience endures. Now we're going to look for just a minute, it won't take long, what patience does. Patience is not waiting. Did we make ourselves clear on that? Patience is not just waiting. It's not just living through something. Patience is how you come through something. Patience is a character attribute. Patience is a virtue. Because you're going to wait anyway, whether you like it or not. But how you wait will determine whether you're patient or not. And if you're not sure yet whether you want to be patient, maybe this brings it out. Psalm 37:7. You could start at 1 if you wanted to, but let's go down to 7. 37:7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. It says in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know one of the things that patience does? It rests in the Lord and waits patiently. It rests in the Lord. Now listen, I know that I'm standing here and the kids are healthy and my wife is healthy and I don't have a medical report coming, as far as I know. And so it's easy to talk about resting in the Lord, all right? But I'll tell you what patience does, whether the kids are doing right or not, whether you're healthy or not, whether you've lost all your goods or not. I don't know what you're facing. But patience, it says there, rests in the Lord and waits patiently for Him. Whatever else is the case, Job said, I'll come forth as gold. He said, one day I am going to see the Lord my God in the land of the living. He waited. He rested in the Lord. In the end, he rejected his three friends and said, I'm done talking to you people. We've been over this and over this. I haven't got anything else to say. I just have to rest. He didn't say it, but I have to rest in the Lord. Okay, patience rests in the Lord and waits. Look in Look in Luke chapter 8 real quick. Just a handful of quick stops here. Luke chapter 8. This is a parable of the seed sown on various grounds, right? And in verse 15, but that, parenthesis, which is sown on good ground, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I'll tell you what patience does. It brings forth fruit. And I'll tell you that's why the Lord spends so much time trying to drive it home. Is because fruit is not born without patience. Again, in the end, when you look at what Job went through, and you've heard of the patience of Job, when you look at what Job went through, I don't know what kind of reward he gets at judgment for what he went through. But that was a pretty good crop that he brought forth. I mean, the Lord turns the entire thing around. And he has whether the same wife or not, I'm not sure, but as a wife, he gets his kids back one way or another, whether by resurrection or by having other ones. Gets all of his stuff back. His friends have to say, you were right and we were wrong. Now, I don't know exactly all that happened there, but he brought forth fruit with patience. I want you to see something else, though. Look in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. What patience does. Now, this is probably worth a sermon all by itself, which I won't preach to you tonight. But when you stop and consider this, look in Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Well, some people evidently do. I don't know if we do or not. But this is why they do. They do so knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You've heard of the patience of Job. So the reason the Lord put Job through it was to develop patience. Verse 4, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. So patience works experience. And experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Now, folks, I'll tell you what patience does. Patience works experience. And then experience works hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Now, we don't like that because what we want is the experience first. That's what the charismatic movement's all about. But you don't get the experience first. Tribulation worketh patience. And with patience comes the kind of experience that matters. If God gave you the experience first, you might not even understand. But tribulation worketh patience. Because you have to survive tribulation. And you have to wait through it, so you might as well learn to wait through it patiently. It's a good attribute. And in waiting through something patiently, Job learned something. Job learned that God was true. Even when he tried him in the severest fashion. Who in the Bible got tried worse than Job? Jesus Christ. Who was worse tried than Job? I can't even think of anybody. Job's tribulation worked patience and patience experience. And what his experience was, I tell you what, I bet you after Job's done, got his kids back, everybody's apologized and he's gone home and so on, I bet you there's no news report you could give him that would shake him up. I bet there was no news report you could give him that would shake his confidence in God. Why? Because he had experienced God. I mean, tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. By the time this thing's over with, he has hope in God, and you ain't going to shake him. Because he's been through the worst anybody can dole out. So folks, patience. One of the things that patience does, it works experience. It's experience you need. And that experience works hope. There's something else, though. Look in James chapter 1. I only have a couple more here, and then I'm done, all right? James 1. James 1, 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Okay? Trying your faith, that's tribulation. It works patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What it can be said is that patience works perfection. Is that what it says? Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So, you've heard of the patience of Job. Well, by the time Job's done, he's as perfect, I suppose, as a mortal man can be. It works perfection. The Lord wants you as near perfect as you can be. And so, he's going to require that you have patience. Did I say you? I think I'm included in that, by the way. I have one more for you, all right? 2 Peter chapter 1. What does patience do? It rests in the Lord and waits. It brings forth fruit. It works experience. It works perfection. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. So somewhere in the middle of your Christian maturity, you're going to have a hurdle to clear, and it's going to be a patience hurdle. And it's going to follow. See, you're supposed to do right, first of all. When you get saved, you're supposed to do right, even before you know a lot. Because it says there, add to your faith virtue. You say, well, I would rather know some things and then I'll do right. No. You do right and then you'll know more things for doing right. Add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge, right? To knowledge, temperance. Everybody knows that it takes moderation, that there's a balance in things, right? And you learn that. And somewhere in there, the Lord is going to give some lessons on patience. Because you add to your temperance patience. And then it says, and to patience, godliness. You know, one of the things that patience does, it precedes godliness. You can't be godly without patience. And patience is not you just waiting. Patience is how you wait. It's how I wait. Or don't. Let's have a word of prayer. Well, Father, this turned out a little deeper than I expected here tonight, maybe a little more somber than I anticipated. I pray that you would help it to be a help to us. We'll be called upon here. We have been called on, actually, to not only endure some things, but to have patience in our waiting. I pray that you'd help us all the more so as the days continue on. It's plain to see that Job was really... in an uncomfortable spot, to say the very least. And he certainly fought impatience, Lord. But in the end, he passed the test and passed the grade because he didn't curse God and he didn't do wrong. And he held on to his integrity and passed the test. I pray that you'd help us to do so well. Let's remain with our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a minute or two here. See if anyone needs to come. Hope you'll come if you need to. Like I said, this got a little heavier than I actually anticipated tonight. But patience is not just waiting. Patience is a virtue. It's how you wait. And the Lord's asked some of you to wait through some things that haven't been pleasant. I know that. Thank you. Ellen's cards back there. Please remember to sign it because I'm going to take it home with me tonight. And also the calendars, if you want to grab a calendar or two before Bryce takes the lot. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for a good night tonight. Great blessed fellowship time we have together. Pray you'd help us consider some of these deeper things, Lord. We hardly know what it is to be through what Job went through. And we're glad to see that God brings a saint like that through. Pray you'd help us to go through what we have to go through with the right attitude. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.